Hey, it's Alex from the Diz His. This is the second part of our two-part episode with comic book artist Alex Saviak. If you haven't, go back and listen to episode one.
Please stand clear of the doors.
I'm Alex Saviak, and you are listening to the Diz His podcast. Welcome.
Welcome to episode 144 of the Diz His podcast. I'm Joe.
I'm Alex.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Alex Savier.
Let's talk about some Disney stuff, okay? And I know Marvel's Disney, but do you have a favorite Disney character?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, it's funny because when it comes down to Disney, yeah, as a kid, I always, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck were always a lot of fun, but when I was a little kid and we only had black and white television living in New York, every Sunday night was the Walt Disney Adventure Hour. And they would always have these cool three-part stories. There would be Zorro. Zorro, if you want to say Zorro was Disney. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Zorro was probably like my favorite guy when it comes to Disney.
Yeah.
They also had Leslie Nielsen, if you guys know who he is. I mean, he played in Police Squad movies and whatever, and he ended up doing comic stuff, but he was a serious actor, and there was this series set during the Revolutionary War called The Swamp Fox, and he was the Swamp Fox, and that was, again, a Sunday night thing. And then there was this Western guy named Texas John Slaughter and another Western guy named El Fago Baca. And then, Patrick McGoohan, who was who played Secret Agent and Danger Man and all this stuff. He also did this thing called The Scarecrow of Romney Marsh. And again, you got a guy with a mask and some sort of a cape, either riding a horse or not riding a horse. But the fact that they had masks and capes somehow was just always appealing to me because it just seemed so heroic.
Yeah.
And, comparatively speaking, again, as a little kid watching black and white television, Superman was on television, George Reeves, but it was black and white. And it was a half hour show. And it was, now when you look at it, it's really hokey looking, but there's that old charm from when you were growing up as a kid going, wow, this guy can fly. How did they do that? You know? So I would have to say, as far as Disney characters, I'd probably say Zorro is my favorite guy. Even within the last, 1997, I think, or 98, Antonio Banderas made that, the Mark of Zorro movie, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Followed it up with a sequel. And those were really cool. I mean, yeah, I really enjoyed that stuff. Still do.
We actually did the history on Zorro.
Yeah.
One of our episodes.
Episode
121. And it was really cool. Some of the things that we read about and we talked about.
Episode 121 was Zorro.
Alex, correct me if I'm wrong, because
So that's only that's not that long ago.
No, it's pretty recent.
Alex, that was Zorro. They drew inspiration from Batman, right?
Batman drew inspiration from Zorro so much.
Zorro was around a lot earlier.
Yeah.
They say that the Phantom came out in 1936 with his purple costume and whatever. And even though it was purple, the thing is that the writer and creator Lee Falk wanted his costume to be a drab looking gray because sometimes they would refer to him as the gray ghost. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the newspaper was, the printing process was four color and they didn't know how to do a gray.
Interesting.
If they did just a black dot pattern with the saturated newsprint, the black dots could basically congeal and you'd have black splotches all over the place. So they took red dots and blue dots of a particular percentage, put them together, and that was supposed to be purple. And that's why he ended up being purple. You know, when you think even before that, there was an author named Kenneth Robeson who created a character called Doc Savage. And Doc Savage was sort of like, he could do anything. Number one, he was a doctor. He was a lawyer. He could be an engineer. He was a chemist. He was everything all wrapped up into one. He worked out like a bandito in the gym. So he had the strength of, like three guys. He was a weapons expert. He was just unbelievably prolific at anything. And he had this place in the Antarctic called the Fortress of Solitude, where he liked to go and just hang out and meditate and do all this kind of stuff. Well, guess what? Superman ended up having a Fortress of Solitude. Okay. And they didn't. So obviously that means then that, you know, if Siegel and Shuster were still doing, were still writing and drawing Superman back in the day, they must have read Doc Savage. Because, you know, again, it was pulp adventure stuff. And whatever they could get their hands on, they used to, you know, they'd read. Yeah, Bob Kane, when he created Batman, definitely used Zorro as an influence. I mean, he had to.
Yeah, so much, so much so that in the comic book, when they leave the theater before Batman's parents die, they're leaving the theater watching Zorro.
Oh, you know what? I don't remember that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about Bob Kane because he was truly a ripoff artist. And the guy that was responsible for creating so many of the wonderful villains and stuff like that for Batman, even responsible for how Batman looked, because Bob Kane wanted Batman to look like an acrobat with, you know, these bat wings, and Bob Kane and Bill Finger said, nah, that wouldn't really appeal, et cetera, et cetera. Bob Kane took credit for everything, and Bill Finger never got credit for anything. Up until recently, when I it was a Batman documentary, which I happened to see on a plane. I was going to a show a couple, 3 years ago, and I'm going, I forget what the name of it was, but basically this guy researched Bill Finger because the guy died penniless in a one-bedroom apartment.
Oh, man.
And he was responsible for creating so many things.
Wow.
But the deal was early on that Bob Kane said that, hey, Bill, listen, can't have two names on the masthead, so it's only got to be one, but don't worry, I'll take care of you. But he never did.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you should probably, I mean, you can get off this podcast, and after that, if you're interested, just go to, just Google or go to YouTube and type in Batman documentary, Bill Finger, and watch it. It's like an hour, and it's incredibly interesting. And his, Bill Finger's great, I think, granddaughter, her name is Athena. She's been, you know, she's actually, I actually met her and sort of, you know, she became an acquaintance. She goes to conventions and, you know, they honor her as being related to Bill Finger and stuff like that, and which is kind of neat.
Nice.
You know? Yeah.
So, but at any rate, Disney now, though. Oh, now if we want to segue Disney into a piece of Star Wars, is The Mandalorian.
Yes.
And I have to say that when The Mandalorian first came out, I did not have Disney Plus. I was in no rush to get it. And then when I finally did, wow, I just waited so long. I said, should I watch this or shouldn't I? I don't know. And then finally, and I'm just saying finally, about 2 months ago, I said, you know, everybody's still talking about this. I really should watch this. And I watched it, and I watched the next one and the next one and the next one. I ended up watching both seasons in like a week.
Oh.
And I actually liked season two even better than season one.
Yes.
And then, of course, the Boba Fett thing came out. And it's funny because I see this guy playing Boba Fett, and I'm, number one, he's walking around without his helmet way too much.
Yeah. Okay?
I don't like that part. And number two, I'm looking at this guy going, damn, I've seen him before. Where the hell have I seen him? And it just so happened that yesterday I'm flipping through channels as I'm doing some work here in my studio. And when I say flipping through channels, I usually can put TV on when I'm, let's say, I finished doing my creative work. Now I'm inking or I'm tightening something up. So I don't have to really, I'm not designing. Okay, I'm just kind of doing, you know, the chores that you got to do to get it done. And Aquaman was on, and the same guy who played Boba Fett was the guy who played Aquaman's human dad.
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm looking at him going, damn, that guy looks familiar. And I said,
huh,
could he? I don't know, because he had hair and he was dressed. And so I had to type in Aquaman cast, and I recognized the name, like, I don't know, Tamara, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what?
Tamara Morrison, is it?
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, the guy's been around the block a little bit. But I did not finish watching Boba Fett yet. But I don't know. People are telling me, you know, it wasn't that good. But I should really watch it just to get my own opinion.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you guys say?
You should definitely. Oh, we love it.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. and definitely get past the first couple of episodes. They're all right. You know, it's good. But when it gets to like the end half of the season, it gets really good. And of course, I'm not going to spoil it, right? But I definitely recommend checking out. If you love Mandalorian, you need to watch the series. You need to watch the series all the way through 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're making so many, there's so much marketing going on with the Mandalorian. I mean, Katie Sackhoff was the, she was one of those Mandalorians, right? They're on the ship. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I always liked her for everything that she's ever been in. And all of a sudden she shows up here and I'm going, wow. And now I just saw that they're making like action figures of her and statues. And I mean, yeah, once you're in that Disney world, man, you got it made.
Yeah.
Who's ever worked on anything professionally Disney speaking, okay, for Lucas or anybody or Dark Horse or anything. And but some of my buddies, you know, even if they've just, you know, inked the poster or whatever, they go to the Star Wars conventions. And this one buddy of mine, I did this print where with another guy where I inked the print and then somebody else colored it. He says, I went to the Star Wars convention in Orlando a couple of years ago with that print. And he said, I think he said he had something like 500 copies of the print. And he said he sold out.
Wow.
Like in a day and a half.
Oh,
he
said,
I wish I would have put together more. He said, that was the best convention I had in my entire life. I said, how about that? You know? So yeah, the Star Wars people, boy, they are hungry. They're out there. Yeah. They want that stuff. You know?
Have you visited the new Star Wars land over at Hollywood Studios? Galaxy's Edge?
No, I haven't gotten there yet. How is it?
It's great.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's great. Yeah, it's great. The rides are great. One of the Rise of the Resistance, you really get immersed in the whole Star Wars world, the universe, and you feel like you're part of the Resistance. So it's a lot of fun. I definitely recommend going to check that out.
I just recently very rarely go to a convention and have somebody ask me if I could do something Star Wars for them. But I don't remember the character's name now, but in The Mandalorian, she was the one that has those two big like antler things coming off her head. She was a criminal on the ship with two other guys. There was the bald guy, it was her, and then the big giant guy, I think, played that was her brother or something.
Oh, Twi'lek?
Like
there are Twi'lek.
What?
Twi'lek.
Okay, this guy, this giant Star Wars fan, he lives in Orlando, I think, or maybe he's out on the West Coast, still comes here. His name is John Higashi. And John, sorry if I'm using your name, but it's not in vain. John has a collection of Star Wars art that from just about every artist, he's got something. Wow. And I ended up drawing that for him a long time ago.
Wow.
Let's see, as a matter of fact, one of the statues that I traded for was this cool looking, like a female Flash Gordon that you could only find in Australia.
Huh.
And, really?
I think her name was Felicity something or other. And so I got in touch with the guy that was selling it, introduced myself, let him know what I did. And since it's Australia, I'm thinking, well, the Phantom, Spider-Man, sure. He goes, hey, could you draw me a Darth Vader? And I said, yeah, sure. So I did him a Darth Vader and he really liked it. And then just recently somebody else asked me for a Darth Vader, you know, like 6 years apart. So I've drawn Darth Vader twice.
That's interesting.
And I posted it on Facebook and people are going, oh man, this is so cool. You know, you should be drawing Darth Vader more often, or you should be doing a Star Wars comic. I said, easy guys. I only drew one character. You know, I mean, I've had some friends of mine that worked on Star Wars comics and wow, between the ships and everything else that's there, when you work on a Disney property, and I did a little bit of work on some stuff where they send you a Bible, a telephone book of what the reference for the character in any different position. If you deviate from that character by like a millimeter or two on something, they make you change it to get it up to speed.
Wow.
That's interesting.
So, oh, it's crazy. Those guys are really tough to work with in that sense. You know, if you got like a lock on the guy's forehead that comes up like a half an inch above his eyebrow, but you bring it down a little bit closer to his nose, you got to shorten that baby
up.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah, they really get on your case for that. The licensing stuff.
Right.
Wow.
So, I mean, the stormtroopers, you know, the width of the eye goggles and all that kind of stuff, the mouth, everything has to be consistent always. You can't put any kind of a little
flare,
you know, any kind of a bent on it of your creativity. You can't throw anything in there. It's got to be exactly the way they have.
Huh. Wow. Interesting.
So, I mean, anybody could draw a stormtrooper and, you know, you could compare and you go, well, his looks just like his. Well, sure, it's got to. Otherwise, you can't draw it.
Yeah.
No problem.
Do you have any Mandalorian figurines?
I don't. And the reason being is that, well, number one, the Mandalorian to me right now is still fairly new, okay, as much as I enjoy him. But even though I have so many statues in my, in my house, my quest, I always need a goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. My goal has always been to try and get a bust or a statue of every character, regardless of how often I've drawn him. Even if I've just drawn him once, I wanted to get a representation of that character in either a statue or a bust.
Oh, cool.
And quite honestly, they don't even make them all.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to hear something really cool, Alex?
Sure do.
So let me tell you a little bit about the Goof Troop, Alex. Do you know about the Goof Troop?
I kind of do.
Well, it's a great way to support the show. You get access to our live shows, which is like a total mess.
Oh, it's a total mess. I edit it and I have to sit there and make sure it sounds professional.
Yeah, and it's not at all. We do giveaways, a couple times a month. We're always giving away wax melts. We're giving away candles. You know, we're giving away books.
It's not fair because I can't be in the giveaways because I'm a host.
I always try to get in the giveaways, but it's really not right if I join in, right?
No.
But you can support us for as low as $2 a month, and you can get access to all of these things.
Just for $2?
Yeah, just for $2.
Wow.
In our Discord chat, our Discord chat is off the chain. It is awesome. It's a lot of fun. We have made lifelong friends in our Discord chat.
It's bumping, as the kids would say.
It is bumping, as the kids are saying. And you can, we have a bunch of great Patreon members that keep our chat super active. There's so many great members that I look forward to every morning to wake up and to talk to every day.
So where do you join this Patreon?
So, good question there, Alex. All you have to do is go to dizhiz.com, dizhiz.com. On the very top, there's a Goof Troop link. Just hit the Goof Troop link. Takes you to our Patreon, and there's so many different ways you can support our show.
And as low as $2 a month.
As low as $2 a month. And it helps us keep our website up. It helps us with advertising, So for as low as $2 a month, you can help support our show. You can help us advertise, get our show out there to more people so they can listen. And so because we love to interact with fans. We love interacting with everyone. So go ahead and join our Discord.
What the heck is an NFT? And how do people make money off of NFTs?
Okay. Chris, do you want to take this one?
Chris, go ahead and answer that one.
Well, an NFT. Late one night, I actually wanted to get the same questions answered, Alex. So I went on the largest marketplace for NFTs, which is OpenSea.io.
That's right.
And I went to go purchase one to see what would happen, where it would go. So I had to transfer my money first from U.S. dollars to make-believe money, which is cryptocurrency.
U.S. dollars is make-believe money.
And then you can purchase the rights to digital art. And all it really is it's art, but with coding behind it. So,
yeah.
Or it's digital art, but with code behind it. So that if you buy the rights to this digital art, only you have this written code, which is then stored in your make-believe wallet on your phone. Or it's very confusing, and I still don't understand what it is. But
yeah, so how are people supposed to make money off this stuff?
Well, art is in the eye of the beholder. So even
right.
it's worth as much as somebody wants to pay for it.
That's right.
So if somebody publishes their art and somebody thinks it's worth $20,000, then it's worth $20,000. And that's exactly what's happening right now. It's just this phenomenon of
Marvel.
It's crypto boom.
I did two variant covers for Marvel, and the first one just came out on February 16th, because I remember they asked me, hey, listen, you want to do a variant cover? And I said, sure. And it was for, I thought it was from Misty Knight. Misty Knight number one. Misty Knight's a character in Iron Fist, okay, whether you saw it on Netflix or whether you follow the comics. So I said, oh, Misty, I thought it was Misty Knight number one, but they did tell me that it was going to be an NFT for Marvel.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Something called Vivi. V-E-V-E. All right?
Huh.
And so when I finally was able to post it, and I said, here I am for Misty Knight number one, I was completely wrong, because a colleague of mine goes, hey, is this for a regular book or an NFT? And it showed like an NFT listing for Iron Fist number 21. And I'm thinking, wow, there's my cover on Iron Fist 21. And I asked him, I said, well, do you know how they're selling this? How is Marvel going to make money on this NFT business? And they said, well, yeah, he says, I'm confused with it also, because quite honestly, He said, you know, Iron Fist has been on digital for a while now. And he says, I can buy a whole set of Iron Fist comics for on Comixology, I think for like $2.99. But if I'm going to buy the NFT, it's like $17. So he said, why should I spend, you know, like $14 more to get the NFT? I said, you got me. I have no idea why they would do that.
Now, well, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at your NFT.
Well, there you go.
There's a hero variant, which is in the black and white. And then you have some color popping out. And then there's the full color.
Oh, really? I only saw the one with the black and white, the color and the black and white. I didn't see the full color one. So yeah, they'll have variations, I guess.
There's different rarities. So there's a secret rare. There's a vibranium variant, which is ultra rare.
Then you radium? Have variant. You have to wear a hazmat suit in order to buy it? I mean, what's up with that?
Wow, it's very interesting.
It's really seriously crazy.
It is.
Now I know, let's see, Billy, are you familiar with the actor Billy Zane?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Billy Zane in Titanic.
The movie, and he's been doing all kinds of stuff over the years. Anyway, I met Billy at a convention about 3 years ago, and we were talking Phantom, and he's got some ideas to do something else with the Phantom.
Yep.
And so I've just been in touch with him here and there. And the last time was Christmas. Or New Year's. And I said, hey, how you doing? Just wanted to wish you Happy New Year's. And he says, hey, great to hear from you. How are you, et cetera. Hey, have you gotten into NFTs yet? And I said, well, no, I haven't, because I'm quite honestly, I'm a bit confused about it. I said, I know a colleague of mine had actually done a Wonder Woman NFT and as soon as I saw and heard that he made something like $1 million off that NFT, I said, how the hell did he do that? I'm sure DC did not say, oh, yeah, just go ahead, do an NFT, and whatever you make, you make. And maybe give us, you know, throw us a ball and give us 10%. I don't think that happened.
No.
I don't know what happened there. But anyway, I just told Billy, I said, well, unless I come up with an original character that I didn't create on a work for hire basis, which is how I did it for Marvel and DC, those characters technically I designed, but they don't belong to me.
Yeah. Right.
So unless I come up with something new that's going to catch on, I wouldn't know what to do. Now, he's doing some NFTs, but he's doing some sort of modern art thing. And because he's Billy Zane and he's got an agent taking care of him for this kind of stuff, he's got the original painting. He's got NFTs. So I guess people can contact him and say, hey, man, how much you want to sell that original painting for? You know, like I got the original cover for this Misty Knight thing that I did. And if somebody got in touch with me and said, hey, man, I got your NFT, and how much you want for that cover? I could feasibly say, I want $25,000. And you could say, really great. Yeah. Let me send you a Zelle transfer right now. Okay, fine by me. I'll send you the cover. But I mean, this is an original piece of art. This is not something that's out there on the cloud, in parentheses, as George Carlin would say, the cloud. it's a confusing thing. I mean, I'd love to get in on it, because you hear about all this stuff about Bitcoin, crypto stuff. Again, it's the timing. Once it gets to a certain point, don't get greedy. Just dump it, take your cash and run. Yeah. I don't know exactly how to get into it. Of course, you know, everybody would like to make some money. But you know, it's nice to be able to understand the medium that you're going into to make the money so that you don't get screwed somehow. Right.
It's true.
So anyway,
well, supposedly everything in the future is going to be NFT, like your, deed to your house. When you're purchasing a car, it's all going to be NFT. Supposedly that's what they say.
Really? But you physically still get the car, though. It's not just a picture of the car.
No.
Hey, man, I'm going to get me that Lexus SUV on an NFT. Man, I can't wait to have that freaking picture so I tell people I got me a Lexus.
Hey, how do you think the Mets are going to be this year?
Well, my son, Daniel, as you know, is a super Mets fan. Okay.
Yeah.
And when I ask him, he says, well, right now, I want to see if there's actually going to be baseball.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
You know, because they haven't resolved squat yet. Now, hopefully at the, you know, at that midnight hour, when it comes down to it, just like whenever the government's going to shut down, a minute before it's going to shut down, somehow they come through with something. I think they're going to come through with something. But
I hope so.
You know, I mean, they've got Buck Showalter for a manager. You know, the manager's only as good as the players. really, when you think about it, when you look at pitchers and you go, oh man, look at that guy can't throw strikes. You know, well, what's wrong with the pitching coach? Well, the pitching coach can't make him throw strikes. He can show him something, his mechanics, but it's up to the pitcher to use those mechanics and throw it on the outside corner where the guy can't tattoo it, right? I don't know. I think the Mets probably could have. Daniel keeps saying they could have made a couple of moves. There's some guys out there that they could have signed. You know, they let what's-his-face go, Baez.
Yeah,
you know,
Javi Baez.
Javi Baez, what's his name, the other pitcher that they let go?
Stroman.
Stroman. Yeah, I mean, Stroman is not going to be your like your number one or number two guy, but hey, I would say he's more like a 500 pitcher. He's going to give you those innings. He's going to win. He's going to win 10 and lose 10, or win 11 and lose 9. You know what I'm saying? So he's still a viable entity, but so I don't know what they're going to have. I really don't know.
I just hope they make it so I can go down there to Port St. Lucie and watch a couple of games.
Well, Daniel always goes once a year. With, you know, my brother-in-law and his father, and they take that trip. But Daniel's going to be 40 this year, and we already promised him that we were going to take him to New York, you know, and see, like, maybe a Friday night and then a Saturday afternoon game thing. So that's going to happen probably, hopefully, in July. Because I know in July they're going to be retiring Keith Hernandez's number.
Oh,
that's
really?
Going to be on a Saturday. So hopefully we can plan for that weekend, which would be kind of neat. So
awesome.
Hey, what did you think of the Super Bowl?
It wasn't great.
What?
Oh,
it wasn't great.
Oh, but, it wasn't. Oh, were you rooting for the Bengals?
I'm a Bengals fan.
Oh, yeah.
He has a Bengals tattoo.
That's right.
I'm not a Bengals fan, but I was rooting for the Bengals.
A lot of people were.
Okay. I just thought that, you know, the coach of the Rams just seems to be a little bit arrogant to me.
McVay.
I don't like arrogance per se. It's one thing to be confident. It's another thing to be a pain in the butt. you know, but hey, listen, they proved everybody wrong. I mean, I thought that, you know, Stafford and that guy Kupp.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, when are they going to learn? You can't leave that guy alone in the secondary. Okay.
I know.
Get two guys on him, please. Okay. But they didn't do it. He beat them again, like three games in a row in the last 2 minutes. The tandem of Stafford and Kupp wins the game.
Yeah.
End of story.
Kupp's a great wide receiver. You know?
But it was, hey, thankfully it was a good game in that sense. Not for you because you're a Bengals fan.
No,
but
it was,
I'm saying at least it was
making it that
blowout.
Far was great. And making it close. What? Yeah. Making that far was great. And it not being a blowout. I can get behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought Burrow was very impressive. I hadn't seen him play that much. He impressed me again between his defense and the team the weekend before and the team the week before that, they just left Cooper Kupp alone to beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know? They had their third corner covering him for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But, you know, in actuality, some people are going to say it was justified because, you know, there was that one call that, you know, the face mask.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
What's his face?
Yeah.
And you're going, wow, they missed that completely?
Yeah.
Not that they – I don't think they scored on that play, if I'm not mistaken.
No, they scored.
You know, or if they did they get a field goal on that play?
It was a touchdown.
Oh, was it a touchdown?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the complexion of the game could change dramatically with a 15-yard penalty there instead of this guy moving on, right?
Yeah.
So –
yeah, for sure.
You know, so, hey, who knows? But now it's like, well – what are we going to watch now?
USFL.
Really? Is that on?
They just did they're doing their draft right now.
Oh, they're doing a draft. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I was around back in the day when they had the US Football League. You remember that?
Yeah.
The Generals. And
that's what I'm talking about. They're back.
Oh, that's the same league?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
this came back, right, Alex?
Yeah, they're doing a full draft for all their teams, getting all their players.
Wow, how many teams are going to be in the league?
Eight.
Eight, okay.
And who are the players? Like this, like, you know, retired NFL players? Or
no, not retired NFL players. College players that didn't make the NFL.
Okay.
People who play for the Canada Football League sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, hey. Canadian Football League guys. Yeah, they'll come in. What was the story on the Rams? There was a guy named, what's his name? Eric Weddle.
Yep, Weddle. Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy wasn't playing. And then all of a sudden they called him up and said, listen, you know, like our three guys got hurt. Can you think you could still play?
Nope. No, we cannot.
He gets a Super Bowl ring. How about that?
Yeah, he got injured, still gets a ring.
What were we going to say, Chris?
I went to go buy this Iron Fist variant cover NFT, and it's sold out.
Really?
Yeah, it's sold out. It was being sold for $6.99.
Yeah, I remember seeing $6.99.
Yeah, sold out. So I got to get on the second.
Well, how many were available? That's when people say they sell out. That's the thing you always want to know.
Yeah. What? How did it said? Let me see.
I mean, I've gone to comic book shops where I say, "Hey, man, did you have, let's say, such and such a book that I drew?" And they go, "Oh yeah, we sold out." I said, "Really? How many did you have?" Six. Six? What? I got six subscribers. I don't buy any more because otherwise, if I don't sell them, I get stuck with them.
There was 10,000 released of these.
Oh my god!
10,000 were released,
and they're sold out. Wow.
Wow. I got to ask you now. Was this of just that of my variant cover or all the variants?
Okay, so you have the. Let me see. So yours was the. Let's see here. You had the vibranium variant and the hero variant. So the vibranium variant was the ultra rare. There was 500 released of that one, and the hero variant was rare. There was 1,000 released of that one. So you had 1,500 out of those 10,000 copies. So yours were the more rare ones to get. The only rarer one was the super rare or secret rare, which was the true believer variant.
Oh yeah, I didn't do anything true believer.
Yeah. It doesn't say who I was gonna try to buy one.
Oh wow. I should have bought one too. Or at least tried, right?
That's awesome. Sold out. Going for in the secondary market, but I don't know how to get there, but we'll figure it out.
So it's probably if there's a secondary market, it means it's probably gonna be selling for more if it's sold out, right?
Well, yeah. Once something is sold out, that means you've got control over what you can charge for.
Oh my gosh,
$1 billion.
See, that's where you make the money then. Yeah, see, I got to make sure that when my next one comes out, I buy like a for $6.99, I should buy like 10 or 20 of them. Then yeah. Have it sell out, and then I could say, "Hey, how you do it?"
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Check us out on Weeby Geeks, a new podcast website where you can find all your favorite geeky content. Just head over to WeebyGeeksPC.com. That's WeebyGeeksPC.com. And listen to all the other awesome podcasts, as well as Diz Is.
Diz Is Review.
Review. Okay, guys, this week for D+, we have Ant-Man. So what do you guys think of Ant-Man? Chris, I'm going to go with like the movie critic. You're like our movie critic, right? What do you think of Ant-Man?
Well, I'm glad it wasn't the second one, because the second one was like really, really bad. The second one was really trash. The first one, however, the first one was not a perfect movie by any means, but man, did they take a strange, obscure character and make him cool and charming and funny. It's just what Marvel does best is just take these I don't know if Ant-Man was a no-name character. I'm not sure, but it's a ridiculous character, a guy that could just shrink down and the size of an ant. So they did a really good job. It was a really good origin movie. And Paul Rudd did a perfect job as Ant-Man, the emotional scenes with Antony. And I liked the guy who played Yellow Jacket too. He's a good actor. So I overall just thought it was a really fun movie.
And Alex, before we hear your review, right? Uh-huh. I just want to kind of piggyback off what Chris said about being like an obscure character, right? Mm-hmm. Who's Ant-Man? Like how like silly of a character Ant-Man is. And I didn't even want to go see Ant-Man. I don't even think I saw Ant-Man in the theater because of this exact reason.
Yeah.
And I like Ant-Man. The movie was good. Just like Chris said, I mean, I don't think Paul Rudd, anyone but Paul Rudd can play that character and do such a good job that he did because it's a great movie. And I like it better than some of the other Marvel movies. But what do you think, Alex?
I love Ant-Man. When I found out Paul Rudd's going to be a hero, I didn't care who he was. I knew it was going to be awesome because I love Paul Rudd. Any Paul Rudd movie is a good movie. So they had that going for him. And then Ant-Man, I think Ant-Man's a cool character. And the fact that it's a comedic character in the comic books as well. And his powers, I think, is awesome. And the way they did it, I think, was really cool. The surrounding cast, like you said, Chris, I think the surrounding cast was awesome. Michael Pena is my favorite character in the movie.
We didn't even talk about Michael Douglas either. Like, that was a huge
cast. Yeah, Michael Douglas.
I think one of the things Marvel does best with Ant-Man in particular, I didn't know he was a comedic role in the comic books, but I think that was the right way to take this character, because I always admire the way that the Muppets are presented, because they're puppets. It should be stupid because they're puppets, and they're very self-aware that they're puppets, and they do make the comedy stupid, and they do make it ridiculous and silly and goofy. And that's exactly what they did with Ant-Man, is they know, like, a character like Ant-Man is ridiculous. So they made it ridiculous. He's riding on ants, and he's he makes a fool of himself, and he's very self-aware. I think that he's a ridiculous character too. So they just make him and his dialogue just really funny. And that's what I think they kill it with this. And then you see that again in Civil War, you know, here's your shield, Captain America. Like, it's just he's just a ridiculous character.
Yep, you're right. Mike, so you know how we have Olaf Presents,
yes,
where Olaf is kind of telling the stories of different Disney cartoons or animations, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure you guys heard of this. I'm sure we've talked about this, but there was a hope that we can get Michael Pena to kind of tell his version of the Marvel movies the way
that
he does, like, in the Ant-Man movies, right?
I would love that. I think that's the best part of the second episode, the second movie.
100%
is his callback to what's going on. And I think that's so funny. I think it's funny that this the bad guy was like a mirror image of him. They do that a lot, don't they? It seems like in the comic books.
Yeah.
A lot of mirror images.
Especially in origin stories.
So. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of mirror images. Like, oh, well, who can he beat? Who can he fight that's like equal power? How about someone with the same stuff?
That's a good point, Alex. Look at a lot of the origin movies, Black Panther, Iron Man, just to name a couple, even Hulk. Well,
yeah, but if you think about it, right, you have people who are working on something together, right? They're working on the same project. Usually what happens is when they're working on something, someone's going to use the same thing for good and someone's going to use it for bad. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it, it's kind of makes sense in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I love how Ant-Man is so, like, strong just because he's so tiny. And somehow he hit things like a bullet. And I loved when they had him in the D+ show. That was a different variant. What was it called?
Oh, What If.
When they had Ant-Man in there. And it was really Dr. Hank Pym, but he was like gone evil. And
that was a great episode, actually.
It showed the power of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I like about Ant-Man is how important the movie is.
Very important.
That one, the technology that they, you know, that they introduce, the second one more so. But I really like how now it's really cool to see anything Pym related in like other movies or references and stuff, like in Hawkeye, the show, when he pulls out the Pym arrow. And it's just cool because it's just like the interconnectedness between the, like, it's really cool to see Stark Industries on things. Now it's also like equally as cool to see Pym technology, I think it is, or something.
You're right. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
Even a big part of Disneyland.
Yeah.
You're right. And yeah. Yeah. But yeah, super, super important character. Really well done origin story. It's a good movie. It's definitely a good movie.
Hey, this is AJ for the D+ Club, where we cover all things Disney+. Each week I'll bring you the latest news and rumors, as well as what's new and what's coming soon to the Disney streaming service in the US and in the UK. And of course, each week we have a weekly movie club, where between March 7th and 13th, we'll be watching the movie Homeward Bound: The Incredible Journey. Share your thoughts in the weekly movie club room in the Sorcerer Radio Discord at srsounds.com/discord. And I'll feature some of your comments in this week's podcast. You can find the D+ Club on all major podcasting platforms, with new episodes every Sunday. See you there.
So we're going to get ready to do a giveaway, right? Alex, what would you like to give away?
Okay. Yeah, you had mentioned that to me. And here, what I have for you is, this is a variant cover for a book called Vampirella.
Okay.
And I did the line drawing on this, and a buddy of mine named Nathan Zerdy did the color renderings and inking on the cover. And so, as you can see in silver, I've signed it already, and he signed it also. So it's signed by both of us. So I'm giving away this Vampirella variant, okay?
Wow.
And Then also, I have, similarly, we did a Red Sonja cover together.
Oh, very cool.
Okay.
That's really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So again, signed by me, signed by him. And so, yeah, I've got these two guys. I've got my Spider-Man comics kind of buried in the garage someplace with boxes on top of them. So I haven't been able to get to those guys yet, but this is all I can offer at the moment.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. And thank you so much. Really, yeah. Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and spin the wheel here.
Ah,
I got a little wheel. Oh, I even put the sound on. Okay. Let's
how many names are on there?
So we have probably about 14 names on here. There's some.
I see Chewie's on here twice.
He is, and
three
the reason
times.
Why Chewie. Yes, and there's some more people here who are on here more than one time because they pay a little bit more for our Patreon tier. I guess
oh,
you could say.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so they have more chances of to win, right? So we usually do maybe a couple giveaways a month, and okay. Looks like we're going to be giving away two here tonight, which is awesome. And I'm going to spin the wheel.
Well, you know, usually when they do these things, it's like first place, second place, third place. So I will have a third one that I can give you. Okay. So we can just do three.
Okay. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I mean, what happens if Chewie wins both of them? Somebody else has them.
You can see Scott won right here, which he's going right. to be super
Scott's
excited
okay,
about
cool.
this. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm going to remove him so that he's unable to win again.
Oh, I see. Okay. Good.
So really, it gives other people more of a chance to win, right? So
now, do you give these people a choice as to which one they'd like since he's the first winner?
Oh, that's a good point. I guess I can go ahead and do that. I'm gonna go ahead and do that. But we don't know what the third one is. What's the third thing gonna be?
Oh, it's gonna be one of these. It's gonna be either or another Red Sonja.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and give them the choice. Okay. Okay. I'll make a little note to that. So Scott, he's gonna win the first one. I'm going to remove him, and I'm going to spin it again.
Oh!
Oh, Emily!
Oh. Emily just beat out Chewie. All right. Yeah,
that's awesome.
By a hair.
Yeah. And we'll do one more.
One more. Here we go.
Meanwhile, Chewie's on there three times going, damn it, I can't believe I didn't win.
I was so close.
Oh,
there it is. There we go.
There's a triple block of Chewies right there. No wonder we won.
So Chewie won. And they're all going to be super excited that they won. I can't wait to let them know. Some of them are actually listening here right now. So, yeah, congratulations to Scott, Emily, and Chewie.
Dreaming of a Disney vacation? If you aren't able to go enjoy the resorts, then get yourself some 3 Cheeky Chicks wax melts. Studies show smells help bring forward memories. So these smells are a must-have if you want to put yourself back at these grand resorts. Go to MagicallyScented.com to order scents like Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's an earthy smell with sage, lemon, and lime. There is a Port Orleans French Quarter, which has fragrance of flowers, cotton, mandarin blossoms, freesia, and peonies. The Wilderness Lodge Melt smells of mahogany, blood orange, red pepper, sage, cognac, bourbon vanilla, golden amber, tonka bean, and sandalwood. The Vero Beach Melt will transport you with its orange blossom, star jasmine, velvet roses, and greens. Just visit MagicallyScented.com and use promo code DizHiz20 to purchase a wide range of wax melts, candles, and room sprays, all made by 3 Cheeky Chicks. That's 3 Cheeky Chicks at MagicallyScented.com, promo code DizHiz20. That's 3 Cheeky Chicks at MagicallyScented.com. Check us out streaming on award-winning Disney streaming site Sorcerer Radio on Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, or catch us again at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Sorcerer Radio is an amazing 24/7 Disney radio. Just visit srsounds.com or download the Sorcerer Radio app.
Hey, Alex, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on.
Man.
It's been a blast. It was so much
awesome.
Fun.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, guys. Yeah, thank you. Hey, maybe after, you know, I do another like 4 NFTs, we'll have like a special NFT.
That sounds like a good idea. We can just start a whole NFT podcast.
There's so much NFT stuff going on out there.
There's NFT restaurants.
I'm going to take a can of paint or like 5 cans of paint, get like a big canvas and try to create like a modern art version of something that resembles Spider-Man, but isn't.
There you go.
Hey, there you go.
You know, they can't nail it down if I don't put webs on it.
Yeah,
sure.
Webless Spider-Man.
I found the comic on the secondary market.
Already?
So it's selling, people are asking as little as $119 and as much as $800 for the Vibranium variant.
That the Vibranium was what, 500 of them?
There was, correct, 500 of them.
Wow, 800 times 500. Hey, that's big bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I gotta get in touch with the editor tomorrow and go, hey, guys, I've been hearing some numbers here from some reliable sources, and I'd like to know what my royalties are going to be on these NFTs.
Yeah. They're like, oh, no, you're not supposed to ask that question.
Royalties, you know, I'm going to say, can't retire on this stuff, but I mean, checks do come in from things that have gotten reprinted, whatever, on whatever kind of a percentage ratio thing that they've got going. And sometimes it's, you know, enough to go out for dinner. And sometimes it's enough to go out for 10 dinners, you know, so it's, you know, occasionally, well, one of the big things is back in the early 90s, Web of Spider-Man, along with the other Spider-Man titles, Amazing, Spectacular. And then there was a Spider-Man title with no adjective in front of it. And each one came out, it was like a weekly thing every month, every week, a different Spider-Man book came out. And there was this thing called Maximum Carnage. If you're aware of it, there were 13 issues in that. Mm-hmm. And so every week you got to read a chapter instead of having to wait a month. So we were able to finish the storyline over the course of 3 months. And that thing's been collected into volumes and reprinted, at least a half a dozen times. And every time they reprint it, I get a pretty nice size check.
Wow.
So as a matter of fact, speaking about the death of Iris West on the Flash, they just came out with a hardcover Flash reprint book that had not just my stories in it, but a few of the other artists before me. And that book sold so well that I was surprised that I was able to even get a royalty check from DC on that.
Wow. So. Alex, one thing to ask the person if you do call about the NFT is, I know that with a lot of NFTs, whenever it changes hands, the original creator gets a percentage of that. So even when it is sold on the secondary market, a percentage of those profits will go to the original creator. So maybe that's something that you might want to ask about.
Yeah, I'm going to say, and I'm also aware of the fact that.
See, there you go.
You know, because quite honestly, when I asked the editor, I said, NFT, how does that work? And she said, well, you could look it up, but I quite frankly can't give you the answers because I don't understand it either. And so, yeah, it's just one of those gray area things where, but like you say, because there are people in the know about it and they're spending all this money just to pick this stuff up.
Yep.
Now, will the market get saturated as so many things do get saturated over the years where you go, gotta have it. You know, again, it's one of those things like when you have a sports guy who's like the hot rookie and his cards go through the roof. And my son's going, Dad, boy, if I could only pull a pack of cards with this guy in it, I could sell that card for $1,000. I said, well, if you got that card, you better sell it for a grand now, because if he gets hurt, that card's going to be worth spot.
You're right.
Yeah.
So, Alex, can you go ahead and just remind us again, Alex Saviak, where can we find you on social media?
Well, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. On Facebook, just search Alex Saviak, S-A-V-I-U-K. Instagram, pretty much the same thing, although Instagram, one word, Alex Saviak. And on Twitter, it's Al Spider Fan. Fan with a P-H-A-N. So that's A-L-S-P-I-D-E-R-P-H-A-N on Twitter.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you guys for listening to episode 144 with Alex Saviak. I'm Joe.
I'm Alex.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Alex Saviak.
Thanks for listening and have a magical week. Please follow us on all social media by searching DizHiz65. Share us and subscribe to our podcast to get the latest show when it is available. If you want to help us out, get tips, get your memories shared on the podcast, see pictures and videos of what we are up to at the parks, join our goof troop on patreon.com and search for DizHiz65.